Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. From the bus leagues to the big leagues, the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast has got you covered. Here's Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 112, and today Travis Jankowski is our guest. Now, full disclosure, Travis Jankowski sat down with us in spring training a couple of days ago back when Jeff and I were in Arizona, so it's going to be pre-recorded coming in, but it doesn't matter. All we talked about was him and things, and there's been no breaking news since. Hey, this is brought to you by Premier. All the spring training videos are brought to you by Premier Properties, along with everything about Premier Property, whether you're buying, selling, leasing, own investment property, or you're trying to lease something, Premier Properties can help you out. Go to swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, DallasRealty.com. Or you can DM me on Twitter or anywhere you see me on social media if you've got any questions or want some real estate help. You can also go to RangersToday.com and hit the link at the top of the page. Thank you to Premier Properties. They've helped us out a lot. Jeff and I are back. We're back. Now, I'm only here for a day. I'm back. You're only here for a couple days.
Yeah, I'm going to Arizona again. I'm leaving at some point Sunday. I haven't decided when. I booked the 9:30 flight for some reason, and that's too late. So I'm going to try to hop on an earlier flight. Although 9:30, I'd probably get my upgrade. But the people I'm staying at a, I'm not staying at a hotel anymore. I'm going to stay at an Airbnb, and I don't want to get there late. So anyway,
are you staying in Sun City again?
Sun City West. So I'm staying closer to the ballpark, kind of close to where I stayed the first time. But anyway, that's besides the point. I am going back. You know, the last week is the big week. It's when all the decisions get made, or a lot of them get made. People start being informed that they've made the team. I guess there's some bullpen spots that are open. So Mark Church is eagerly awaiting some news. Danny Duffy, Jose Urania, Cody Bradford, where's he going to start the season? Bullpen, starting rotation. Jake Latz, another guy. So we'll see what happens. And then there's the injury news. Josh Young, he seems like he's progressing. And then I guess Bruce Bochy this morning told the fellas in Arizona that he's more optimistic about Corey Seager being available for opening day. So, all of a sudden you've got you've gone from 25% of your infield to 75% of your infield, with the other 25% not that far behind in Nate Lowe. So it's that's pretty encouraging stuff. If Bruce Bochy is optimistic, then everybody should be optimistic. But we'll see what happens with that.
Of course, the biggest news that
and of course the biggest roster decision is Wyatt Langford, who I think is on the team. I thought he's been on the team for a couple weeks now. I think I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist kind of guy, but I think the Rangers came to camp with him on the team, thinking he was on the team, and that he would have to be an utter failure. He'd have to lose the job, and he definitely has not lost the job. I'll play devil's advocate in here a minute, but he's got 5 spring home runs now. He has 14 RBIs at the Grand Slam. Thursday night, as the Rangers return to action following their off day, it's impressive. He hits the ball to all fields. His home runs haven't just been down the left field line. He's hit 3 to right center. That one right there was a little right of center, pretty much straight away, but still power to all fields, fast as the Dickens. The defense, don't worry about the defense. He's lost some balls in the sun. If he makes the team, he'll be playing half of his games with a roof over his head, and he'll probably be DH-ing a lot more than playing the outfield. So, it's just everything is adding up to this guy being on the team. Everything's adding up to this guy being on the team.
Well, I was the guy. I was the saying devil's advocate, but you brought up last night. I think he struck out again. He puts together good at bats.
Yeah,
and you got full count Carter, but Wyatt sees pitches.
Sure.
He doesn't just go up there hacking and attacking. Corey Seager, my favorite part of Corey Seager's game is that he will ambush you on a first pitch, and he's done it so many times.
Yeah.
He did it in the game-tying first game World Series, the game tying home run. He ambushed a fastball, but Corey Seager can fall behind 0-2 and work a count full again. Yeah. It's just that good. Wyatt Langford looks like somebody. I'm not ready to say he can do that, but he certainly he has not swung in a lot of bad pitches.
Well, you got to be comfortable hitting with two strikes. That's just the way things are these days. And the best hitters don't think it's a big deal. You know, Adrian Beltre was great with two strikes, and he's going to the Hall of Fame this summer. So I'm not saying Wyatt Langford is Adrian Beltre. I'm not saying he's Corey Seager. I'm not saying he's anybody. He's Wyatt Langford, and
right.
And it's been pretty good. Now I will play devil's advocate here. You know, there are some things. You know, look, Arizona is a very difficult place to evaluate players. Spring training is a difficult place to evaluate players.
Very true.
You know, the ball carries a lot more in Arizona. It's difficult for outfielders to catch the ball, as Wyatt has learned. And then, you know, you're not facing pitchers at the top of their game. So what do you, how do you determine if this is the guy? Well, I think you probably nowadays you look at exit velocity. You look at just the at bats, and then you look at need. You know, if Corey Seager is not able to start the season on the active roster with Nate Lowe out, you're going to need a little offense. But if Corey is healthy, can you live without it? So Ezekiel Duran, the Rangers really like Ezekiel Duran. Could they have Ezekiel Duran as their primary DH and be just fine while Wyatt Langford goes to the minor leagues for, I don't know, a month and just works on his defense? And I don't know. I just, you know, that is devil's advocate. Those are the other arguments. You know, the example I always think of is Alex Gordon when the Royals put him on the opening day roster, I think in 07, and Dayton Moore, who's an assistant to Chris Young, was the Royals general manager at the time.
Right.
So he knows what that's like. And he, you know, it blew up on him. You know, Alex Gordon hit like 180 for the first month or two.
Got sent down,
became a very good pro, you know, gold glove left fielder, probably an all-star a couple times. I'd have to double check that. But it was pretty bumpy at the start. And if we're, you know, if we're being perfectly honest, when Mike Trout got called up in 2011, he spent 2 or 3 weeks in the majors and he hit like, you know, it was definitely below 250.
Right.
He was not Mike Trout. You know, he became Mike Trout the next year after they manipulated his service time,
right,
and called him up after the first 3 weeks. So it's tricky. It really is. And it's going to be hard because these pitchers, he's never going to have seen most of these pitchers. They're not going to be messing around anymore. They're going to be on their game.
Trying to work a pitch, something like that.
They're going to be dialed in. And so, you know, the first series is against the Cubs, who the Rangers have seen this spring. Wyatt played. I don't remember. You know, I think it was against Drew Smyly. I don't think Drew Smyly is going to be in the Cubs rotation. Then they go to Tampa. Well, Tampa trains in Florida. Then they come home for the Astros. The Astros train in Florida. It's a different animal, man. And so, we'll see what happens, but I really do think he's going to be on the team. You know, all that devil's advocate stuff aside, I think he's going to be on the ball club.
Yeah, and here's the amazing thing that he has done. I was saying all along I thought this might be a guy with as little with as few at bat as he had at bats as he had last year might serve him a good to start out the season, maybe just get another 100 bats or something like that in the minor leagues before coming up. He was obviously ready. To a point now that if he does not make this team, there'll be some, you know, explanation. There'll have to be some sort of explanation at why he didn't, because he's obviously one of the 9 best hitters right now on this team, especially with the injuries going on right now. But like you said, you know, if he comes in and he hits 200 and, you know, he only has a couple of home runs and struggles for the first month, it's not a failure. Excuse me. It's not a failure at all. It's just reality of what you've talked about facing the, you know, everybody says wait till he gets into the league and he starts facing these pitchers and he learns what they're throwing at him and all of that. That goes the other way. Wait till the pitchers get in the league, face him a few times and start making their own book on him. scouts start seeing him, advanced scouts, knowing what pitches that he's getting fooled by and all of that. These teams, it's all different from the old days. They game plan everybody, every hitter, catchers meetings, pitchers meetings. They're going to know where his weak spot is in there, and everyone has one. And it's the great hitters learn to stay away from that weak spot as much as possible and try to capitalize and get in good, you know, good hitters counts and look for the pitch they want. But sometimes these kids get excited. He's going to be playing in front of a sold out crowd. They're going to hang a banner. Everybody's going to get a ring. He gets to be there for all of that, most likely. And it would be weird if he wasn't. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, it's not an injury or anything, but we think that he'll be there. In that case, there's going to be a lot of adrenaline. Yeah, 11,000 people are showing up. You know, they've sold out a couple games when you and I were there. 11,000 people at Surprise. But we're talking 45,000 people and hanging a banner, World Series champs. It's going to be a big day, opening day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then, you know, the ring ceremony, I think, is going to be on a different day. It's just a different beast. You have three decks on the stadium instead of one. I guess Surprise has two, but it doesn't go all the way around. So yeah, there are things that he'll have to juggle. He's never been on the road. He's never been on any of these ballparks, but the Rangers, and I think we can say this having been around him, are confident that he can handle it. He's unflappable. Good head on his shoulders. He's humble. Plays hard and plays the right way. So all those things add up to a guy who's going to have success. And I'm sure the moment will get to him at some point, but he'll be able to put out those butterflies and all that stuff. But yeah. Another reason to have him on the roster is the Rangers are going to have to score a lot of runs, especially early on.
All right, let me drive the bus to this place because, I got to drive that bus to you. Because this week there was some other interesting stuff. Yeah, you're going to talk about that starting rotation, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, you know.
And there was some big news that happened this week that we thought might all of a sudden came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, as the Rangers operate, that's great, you know, for them. If it works, fine. But it was leaked that Dylan Cease was a object of the Rangers' affection. They wanted him. They talked with the White Sox about getting him. Didn't work out. You know, the Padres came in and offered, I think, three of their top 12 prospects plus another guy who had just graduated from prospect status. So the Rangers, I guess they lost out on him. I don't know how close they were. Sounds like they were close at one point. I'm sure the Yankees were involved, maybe the Giants. You know, there are teams that have some pitching issues. The issue, and I've said this a couple times, isn't that the rotation isn't good, because the five guys, especially the first four, have done something in the major leagues, and you know they've pitched in a World Series. They've done a lot of stuff. Even the fifth guy right now, Cody Bradford, is pitching a World Series. He just doesn't have a ton of experience, but there's really no depth behind this group. You know, if you want to look at the advanced prospects, Owen White and Cole Wynn and Zach Kent, they didn't do much this spring. They didn't perform very well. They didn't give the front office a lot of reasons to be confident that when a pitcher gets hurt, because a pitcher is going to get hurt, that one of those three can come up. The one who has done a lot of good is Jack Leiter, coming off of two.
But he's not on the 40. Those other three.
He's not on the 40. Yeah. Coming off the mediocre last two seasons, he's looked good. I mean, I think the stuff's been crisp. The way he's talked is different. He seems more confident about himself. So I think he's an option. All right. So that's one. You're going to need more than one. So, you know, do the Rangers take Jose Ureña and put him on the roster and bump Cody Bradford to the bullpen, just in the name of depth?
Right.
You know, it's not in the name of Cody doing something wrong. It's in the name of protecting yourself. And that's one way to do it. And, you know, it seems like the Rangers have moved on from the idea of Danny Duffy being a starter. Adrian Sampson can start. Do you want to keep him around? You know, he's not a 10-year veteran, but he's a veteran. He had a nice season 2 years ago for the Cubs. He was hurt last year. He had a knee injury. Tried to come back too soon from it. It didn't work out. So those are kind of the thoughts that the Rangers are going to have here. But I still think that they have an opportunity to, you know, acquire a pitcher. There are pitchers who are still free agents, most notably Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. Michael Lorenzen, who was an all-star last year and threw a no-hitter, is still a free agent. You know, I know people are excited about Trevor Bauer. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
He just doesn't fit. You know,
this clubhouse is so jealous.
He may have been innocent from the what he was accused of doing. But as I've said all along, he's not innocent. And you know, somebody said to me, okay, let's say you sign Trevor Bauer. That's going to overshadow what should be a honeymoon going right into the season as the world champs. You know, does the front office want to have to answer about that? Does the ownership want to have to answer those questions?
And Corey Seager and Marcus Simeon want to answer that.
It just seems like this comes from the very top above Chris Young. I mean, Chris Young is the one who they love the character of these guys who are on the team, the draft picks, all that stuff. It's about character. And while Trevor Bauer, again, the case was dismissed and there's evidence that he was set up and all of that, it's just too hard for this team to overcome that, not just that one incident, but past incidents when he, you know, threw the ball over the center field wall, when he was pitching with Cleveland and how much he disliked and was at odds with Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and just things like that, that I don't think the Rangers want to have in the clubhouse. And maybe Trevor has learned from that and grown and all that stuff, but I don't think it matters. So I don't see that. But if the Rangers are to sign somebody, maybe they get Montgomery to come back on a deal that's structured so that he can get out of it after 1 year. You got to worry not necessarily about the TV money next year, because I think the Rangers are confident they're going to find somebody who's going to pay pretty good. But I think that second tier of the luxury tax is a concern. So Ray Davis needs to ask himself, how much did I like that world championship? Would it be worth the penalty? And the answer, of course, is yes.
Sure.
You know, the Rangers are going to have bigger crowds this year. They're going to sell more merchandise. I just think that there's enough to cushion the blow. As far as a trade, I don't.
You brought up a great one earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, Shane Bieber. You look at the AL Central, and I mean, the Twins are I think the favorite.
Sure.
But probably the Indians are the second favorite. I mean,
I
don't think Detroit's ready yet. Kansas City's an interesting one.
They're young, you know, and talented.
So maybe Kansas City's in there. And then the White Sox, obviously, if they're going to trade Dylan Cease, they're
in a rebuild.
They're circling the toilet. So
yeah, they're rebuilding.
I just think that if you're a fringy contender like the Guardians. Did I call them the Indians earlier? I might have. The Guardians. How much is Shane Bieber more valuable now or in July? Probably now.
Right.
Now he's not. He wouldn't cost what Dylan Cease would cost because there's no control. He's a free agent after this year. Do the Rangers want to trade for a rental? Maybe. You know, but like a Shane Bieber, and then you get back Scherzer and DeGrom and Malley. You know, you would think that Evaldi would remain in the rotation. So sure. Are you suddenly going to have four starters in the bullpen? So I don't know. I don't get paid to make those decisions, but I do think that the obvious one is Jordan Montgomery, and he probably wants to be here. I think that's
kind of. Well, they want him more than Snell. They like him way more than they like Snell.
Well, Snell walks a lot of guys and doesn't work deep into games, but I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's crazy that they're still free agents and we're still talking about them here on March the 15th with opening day 13 days away. I've written this too at rangerstoday.com, which you can get for $5.99 a month, or Right now, spring training special, $48 for a year. Pretty hard to beat that price.
DM me. I'll text you the link to that special.
Or maybe Joel can put it up here a little bit later on. But the fact of the matter is that this has been an ongoing issue. The Rangers came to camp, I think, hopeful that what they had would have developed and made a step forward and prove could be good options to get him through until Scherzer gets healthy and then Malley and DeGrom, probably in that order. But having had their arms around these pitchers for three or four weeks now, they realize that they need to do something about it. So trade wise, Bieber, sure. I don't know if the Guardians would be willing to balk at that. But then after that, you know, the Marlins had a couple guys, but then Cabrera's shoulder started to hurt. So would they be willing to trade Lizardo, who has 3 years of control, and what would that look like for the Rangers? I think the Cubs have some surplus starting pitching, but not anything good. You know, the Angels have extra starters, but you don't want Angels starters. So it's really going to be hard to find a trade. Not to say that they couldn't, but it'd be difficult. So free agency still right there. So, you know, what do I know? But the Rangers see it as a problem, and frankly, it's not the five, it's 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yep.
And until the other guys are ready.
Well, and you know, we're gonna get Travis on here in just a little bit, but before we get out of here and get Travis on for his segment. Last week was fun. It was a great time for me.
Yeah.
Having someone there is so invaluable. It's so great that Jeff goes early. He gets all the early stuff. When we were both there, it's kind of great because we can break off and go different directions, try to find stuff and get some videos. If y'all have gone to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button down there. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of new YouTube videos up. Jeff will be back this week, and that'll to finish it off for roster spots. But, man, it was just – I love it. I can't stress enough, if you've never been to spring training, go. We ran into a lot of Rangers Today fans out there.
Yeah.
They were calling us over. I mean, it was great. You know, they would call your name. You run over and say hello. Said hello to every one of them. If they knew who we were, we would say hello. Go talk to them. Try to, you know, if they had questions for people, we would try to get it answered for them. All of that is just fantastic. But, you know, Premier Properties, big kudos for giving us and helping out and getting to do that.
Thank you, Karen.
Karen and them, they really support us, and they help us. We've got, you know, this is kind of the Premier Property Studio.
It is. We're at Premier Properties now.
Yeah, the Premier Property Studio that we got here. But, hey, it was a great time. Thanks to Premier Properties for that. Listen, we got to go down to the bus leagues after Travis.
Yeah.
I really want to talk about a couple of players, but unless you've got anything else.
No, just, I mean, it's hard to believe opening day, 13 days away, camp breaks on the 23rd. So, it's coming fast and it's going to be fun. It may be a little hairy early on, but it's going to be fun.
All right, guys, right after this, Travis Jankowski. All right, guys, and joining us right now is, and I will never get tired of saying this, I've got to say it so many times this year, it is World Series champion outfielder for the Texas Rangers, Travis Jankowski. Travis, what's going on, bud?
That sounds good. We got to keep saying that. That sounds good.
That's what we want to keep saying.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And, you know, I covered the team since 2008, so I was there in 10 and 11, and 11 was painful. But to experience the win, I'm not sure I ever thought I would. I don't know if you ever thought you would, but what has it been like? What's the ride been like for you the last 4 months now?
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was asking me, what was the World Series like? You know, everybody wants to know, and I think they were expecting me to say fun. And I was like, the parade was fun. You know, like when you're playing those games, you know, when you know that you win one game, you got to win three more, you win two games, two more, it's like, fun, you know, it's enjoyable to be around the guys, but it's intense, you know, maybe a little stressful. But I was just trying to enjoy it as much as I could. You know, it's been a long time coming. something I definitely don't take for granted, knowing right. how hard it is to get there. So it was, I tried to enjoy it as much as I could.
Yeah. I mean, it's stressful for us because deadlines and everything, you have different stories going and you want to be first and all this stuff. So we're watching the games and, obviously we want the best outcome because we get close to you guys. We're supposed to be impartial, but we can be impartial. We can be impartial in our writing, but I mean, we all want to write happy stories. So we were all leaning toward the Rangers and hoping it went well. I can't imagine what's it like in a game. Are you so focused in a game that you don't worry about the nerves? Do you feel like, oh, crap, they've got two on with one out in the ninth and it's a one-run game? Do you feel that stuff?
So that's kind of the crazy part for me is I expected, getting thrown into it in game four. I was totally expecting to be nervous in the batter's box, but there was such a peace about it, And a lot of that, it comes from, talking with my teammates before the games. Those guys, they gave me so much confidence before the game, I had no choice but to believe in myself, In the outfield, I was like, boy, I can't drop a fly ball. That's going to be a not top 10 for a long time. So I was a little nervous in the outfield. It was so crazy to me how much peace I had and confidence I had just from, my teammates telling me, hey, like, you deserve this opportunity. Like, you've been grinding. You've been doing your work. You're ready for this. So a lot of that is just, my teammates feeding into me, making me feel good about myself and going out and producing.
Well, and that's the thing. Guys who don't play every day, they still – prepare too. They still prepare like they're going to play, and it's a indication of how professional guys are when they're able to step in and not be phased. So you come in, you get your two hits right off the bat. You guys win the game. I think you made the nice catch where you and Marcus almost killed each other. And then after the game, you're up 3-1. All the media's around Travis Jankowski's locker. I thought that was pretty cool. Once in a lifetime. Hope it's not once in a lifetime, but a pretty cool event.
It was awesome. Yeah, totally not deserving of all that media presence. You look at the numbers from everyone else in that game. Good catch, couple hits. It was exciting for me to be able to talk to the media, but again, not deserving. Marcus had what, 5 RBIs that game.
He did.
He's the one who needed to handle the media that day.
Corey might have hit a home run.
I'm sure he did. He did that a lot.
Okay, so you're on the field for the final out. What is it? It went so quick. The first two batters went so quick. We're like, holy crap, there's two outs. And so what do you do? Do you beeline? Do you look at Leody? Did you turn around and look at the bullpen? Do you remember?
I was beelining. I wanted to be in that mosh pit. I wanted to be in that pile as quick as possible. So running in, the glove went, launched. It might have hit the ceiling. Glove was in the air, and I was trying to get to the middle of that pile to celebrate with those guys. I got chills talking about it. That was a moment I'll never forget.
Yeah, well, it was cool, and I'm sure Rangers fans never thought it would occur. I don't know about John, who, what was your first game, 75?
1974.
74.
I went as a 7-year-old. And the old crappy stadium, I can't even make it. I used to be able to drink beer when Nolan Ryan was throwing. I mean, I was old enough to drink beer. That's how long it's been for me. And, Nolan threw the 7th no-hitter. I was at that game sitting in the outfield, and I had a few too many, actually, to do. I wasn't planning on being there a couple innings and heading home, but I was like, we ended up staying. But so it's a long time coming. And, like, we had Kobe Lewis on and a couple of guys from the 10 and 11 team. We told them, as Ranger fans, that they raised the expectation of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We thought, okay, this team can win a championship.
Yeah.
You guys just knocked it out of the park. And it was – I was at home. I tell everybody, you'll love this. But so I was credentialed to go to all of it. But he was going to be at every one, so I would make sure he was at every one. I thought about going out to Arizona for the last two, but I was like, no, I'm just going to stay here. And if y'all would have come home, like when we did Baltimore, I was in the clubhouse and got drenched. You guys were in there drenching everybody. And I wanted so bad, I thought that would be so cool. But I called him the night of game 5, and I texted him. I said, look, I said, for me, it's been too long. It would be great to be there for the celebration, but you guys need to finish this off tonight, and I'll just enjoy the parade.
Yeah.
If you would have been out there and jinxed us, you wouldn't have been here.
Absolutely.
You would not have been here.
No, I was like, no, I put all my pride aside, and I said, look, I would rather just get over with tonight. You guys celebrate, get some good video, because I'll be at the parade and enjoy it.
Everybody in the media for Game 5 was definitely rooting for the Rangers because because the National guys did not want to go back to Arlington. That's it. Let's end the season tonight. So there was a lot of Ranger fans in that ballpark that you probably didn't know. But
yeah.
So you want to do it again. That's why you came back. I thought it was refreshing to hear after you signed your deal right there at FanFest. You said you had other opportunities that might have paid you a little bit more, but they weren't this. So it's refreshing, but how bad do you want to win? I mean, that's what everybody plays for, I'm guessing.
So that is something that until you go through that, until you make a postseason run, win the World Series, you don't know the adrenaline rush you get. You know, yeah. That's something that is, you know, I don't think anything will compare to it. It's addicting. It's fun. And to do it with that group of guys in that clubhouse, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, financially, yeah, there's some money left out on the table. But for me, it's one of those things that you can't put a price on that culture in that clubhouse, you know, uh-huh. That team chemistry. And, you know, you look at the major leagues, everyone's good. Every team is good, you know. So yeah. When you get to the playoffs, these are the best of the best. So what are you guys going to have that separates you from the other, you know, 10 other teams that are elite at this game?
Yeah.
And for me, it's that chemistry, you know. Like, we enjoy being around each other. We have, you know, very talented players, but high-character human beings as well. So to me, it's one of those things that, you know, you can't put a price on that. I know I'm coming in this clubhouse and I'm having fun every single day, you know. Playing for Bruce Bochy, Hall of Fame managers, on that list as well. You know, of those things that's not something I take for granted, you know. Yeah. Boch is, like I said, a future Hall of Famer, and there's kids who would, you know, give their life to go and play for Bruce Bochy for a year, and I wanted to run it back and do it for at least two. So, and hopefully more after that.
You're talking about the culture, and I'm going to write a story on this. It was a great year on the field, but you were one of the players, the thousands of players on the team who had a baby. And it just seems like, you guys are humans. You're not just robots who go out and play baseball every day. It just seems like it's not going to get any better ever. That's going to be the best year ever for you guys, because you won the championship, but you added to your family in your case. Some guys started families. Just seemed like every other week somebody was having a baby.
Yep. There's something in the water, right? But no, I think that's what's so cool is, like, you know, like you said, we are humans, you know, and in this organization we get treated as such. You know, we're not a stat line. We're not an analytical, you know, computer type in, oh, you know, this is the type of player you are. No, yeah. We're human beings, and being treated like a human being, you come in and you appreciate that, you know, because it's, you know, it's not like that everywhere else in this game. Yeah. You know, Boch sees us as that, CY sees us as that. And we get to go out and we get to be ourselves and the best version of ourselves.
Did your kids do the trick-or-treating? Marcus talked about it in that All Access show.
They did.
It seems like they did. I mean, you know, it was game four.
Yep.
It was October 31st. Game four is October 31st. You guys are, the series is still in the balance. And yet, here you guys are at the hotel. They're doing trick-or-treating for the kids.
What, through the halls or something, going to every door? What were y'all doing?
It was a little private room. They had some face painters. They had vendors out with candies. Awesome. It was... And to me, like, that is such a next level intelligence move, because we could be sitting in there with our families thinking about, we got game four tonight. We got game four. And we're thinking about it from 9 o'clock when we wake up until, you know, 5 o'clock when the first pitch is thrown. Or you can say, hey, go out, have fun with your family, you know, trick or treat with the kids. All the kids were dressed up. I had Spider-Man, Falcon, and Bingo from Bluey who were going around getting treats. And I'm like, this is what it's about, you know, like, championships are great. Don't get me wrong. That was an incredible year. You know, playing baseball is awesome, but we're guys, you know, we have families, we have kids, we care about them more so than a championship. And to be able to go out and experience that and a memory that we'll, you know, remember forever with our family, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And, you know, and if they're being taken care of, that takes a burden off of you. I think, you know, people can talk about Chris Young and the fact that he's a former player, I think, is really not discussed enough. You know, at a time when it's, you know, John Daniels is a friend of the show. He's one of my friends. But he, you know, got his degree in economics from Cornell and didn't really play. And while he did a good job and helped bring in the family culture with Chris, you know, for him to, you know, like, I haven't asked him. Like, in 2015, when you're going to the World Series with the Royals, 14-2, I guess, or was it just 15? But what is that like? Did he learn a lesson of how he wanted these players to be treated? So it's a cool story. I think it's really cool that they took care of you guys, but also that, you know, Heaney had twins who were preemies, and Marcus Semien had to the whole playoffs until the ALCS was worried about when his daughter was going to be born. And then you went from Oakland to yep. Pennsylvania and back. I mean, yep. it just
Dunning, Spores,
yeah, all kinds of guys. Tavares didn't get to see his daughter born because yep. they were in the Dominican, and right. I don't think he saw her for like 6 weeks.
Right,
he was FaceTiming or something like
just,
that. I
just
guess.
Crazy
and that
stuff.
Too is like yeah. that to me, you know, what Leo did that tugs at your heart. You know, yeah. you want to go see that baby, but he's putting the team, you know, in a bigger spot, you know, because he doesn't know, okay, how long am I going to be there? When am I going to get back? The team yeah. needs me. You yeah. know, that's an ultimate teammate right there. You know, you're going to sacrifice seeing the birth of a child over, you know, missing some games. That to me is like, hats off to Leo for that.
That's just his third. All right, I'm not going to let you go. I asked all the baseball questions. I'm not going to let you go with asking about Wyatt Langford.
Oh.
So, Wyatt Langford.
We're going to be here a while. This, I mean, you don't even have to ask a question. The kid is talented. You know, yeah. he has all the talent in the world. I would kill to have the talent he has at his age. But, you know, the thing that surprised me the most about Wyatt this whole spring is his mental approach. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you guys saw it last year with Evan, you know, yeah, how sure. good of a, you know, mentality he had to be thrown into a playoff push in September and go out and do what he did. I think Wyatt's on that same level, you know, just to see how he's handling it, 22 years old, first spring training ever,
yeah,
being
yeah.
in big league camp. I was in the big leagues before big league camp. You know, I didn't have a big league camp. Okay. I was thrown into the fire without that experience. And I know I didn't handle myself in the big leagues like he's handling himself right now. And it's incredible, you know, how he doesn't struggle or he doesn't let his struggles, which he has had some 0-4 games, mm-hmm. He doesn't let him ride into the next day. He's way above and beyond the mentality he should be at his level, and he's going to be exciting to watch.
All right.
John. Seems like a good guy in the clubhouse, too.
Yeah.
Awesome guy.
22, just got married.
Yeah.
Seems like he fits the culture.
Real nice kid. We had him on last year after he got drafted. He was really, really nice kid.
Level-headed, yes. Very, very down-to-earth, good kid.
Well, and I'm telling you right now, so I was the guy this whole offseason before you signed. I was like, they're bringing back Jankowski, right? They're going to bring him back. I was lobbying because, look, I get asked by more people, being media and being able access to you guys, what's it like? I said, these guys are amazing in this clubhouse. I said, look, I don't know. I'm not a reporter that went out all over and worked in other markets. I don't know. But I can tell you when you walk in, even if it's a bad game, they're at least cordial. They do that. They get along. They're playing games in there. They're having fun. But Travis and I really hit it off.
Yeah.
And what hit it off, and my wife loves him because we really considered adoption. When we were younger. We're too old for that now. They won't let you. And we really came close to doing it. And he told me that they had adopted a little boy. Well, that just, to me, look, I'm at the age now where my next step is grandfather. I mean, I got a 26-year-old daughter. And so I'm like, so to me, I'm watching all these kids born, and I'm thinking grandpa things, you know, and watching them. And then after the Baltimore series, all the kids are running around the field, and they're trying to wrangle everyone to get a picture. And I went to his wife. I said, give me the phone. I'll get the picture. Because they were trying. Maybe they were running everywhere, and I'm taking photos. So I was lobbying. And I was like, they got to bring Jankowski back. But I was worried. I said, you know, the way he played, though. Yeah, he might get a deal somewhere. Yeah, he's gonna do it. So I'm so happy to see you back.
I'm more thrilled than anything. To be back. Oh, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
It's so much fun. Okay, couple quick questions before we get you out of here. Because, listen, these guys – y'all, you can't understand. Take time to sit down and talk to us. I mean, he's about to go home. Just tell him he's about to go get in the pool with the kids.
Nice.
He's got his day off. He's in. I mean, that's fantastic. I'd love to do that. So, you know, we talked last time about you growing up, playing ball. You played football in high school. You grew up in Pennsylvania. So I'm going to ask some other questions that we go on this time. So what was your favorite MLB team when you were growing up?
Ooh, I had two. So the Yankees. That was, you know, Northeast. The Yankees yeah. were the team when I was growing up. You know, Jeter, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill. I loved watching those guys. And then, believe it or not, I kind of became a front runner with Philly when I was like 16 and they were making their World Series runs.
Yeah.
You know, okay. watching Chase Utley play, watching Jason Worth, watching Jimmy Rollins. Those guys were – I was locked into the TV every single night just watching them play. And to me, like – you know, you got, you know, Derek Jeter, who I watched my whole career, you know, right. awesome player, but how he handles media, the type of person he is unbelievable off the field. You know,
yeah.
that's someone who I would love to emulate throughout my career, you know, just being a good human being. And then you look at the way Chase Utley played the game, man, always dirty, just, you know, he was made to play in Philly, that yeah. grinder mentality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was good. And I loved watching him play, too. You know, he's younger than me, so.
Yeah. The Rangers equivalent. And this isn't an exaggeration. As far as being respected by players like Jeter was Michael Young.
Yep.
And, you know, Michael Young was a pro. You could – he played – you know, posted every day, got dirty, big hits, played hurt. Did I say that yet?
Yeah.
Huge in the community, was a Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award winner. He was just a respected guy. And so he's kind of the standard bearer, I think, as far as Rangers and Rangers history. They have obviously a lot of great guys, but they're not – you know, Jeter's in the Hall of Fame, had the 3,000 hits. Michael had a very nice career, but among players, Michael Young is in that conversation about just guys who are professionals.
Oh, 100%. You know, and you can see it, right? Like you said, posting every day, going out, playing hard every day, playing through some injuries, like that earns respect, you know, and that's the mark of a true professional.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you got to the big leagues, you know, we already talked about you get called up or whatever. We talked about that last time. Who was the guy that when you played against him or maybe he was on your team – he was the made you Chris Farley. I mean, you were like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe I'm on the field with this guy. Maybe you got to meet him. Who was the guy that really, like, got you tongue twisted or whatever?
It was Utley. It was Utley. Chase Utley. Yeah, when he was in L.A. So debuted in 15 and Chase is at second base. And we played the Dodgers probably three series. You know, I got called up in August, played them probably three times throughout the rest of the season that year. And I don't know, I probably hit some cheap hit, you know, get on base, and I get to second base, and, you know, Chase comes up to me, and he doesn't talk much, you know.
Yeah.
Telling, you know, players in the game that he said this, they're like, he said that? I was like, yeah. He said, hey, nice swing. And I'm like, thanks, Chase. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Utley. You know, like, yeah. Totally just kind of, like, balled off. But that to me was like a, oh, my gosh, dude, that is Chase Utley. I watched him growing up. That is the man. And he just said nice swing on probably a horrible swing, like – thanks, Trace. I appreciate that.
That's cool.
That's got to be cool. That's cool. Yeah, that's got to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your favorite baseball movie?
Oh, man.
There's some good ones, but.
I got my kids on The Sandlot.
That's great. They played it here last night.
Did they?
Yeah. Yes. They
can't watch this episode then. They're not listening to this podcast. They're going to be mad. They did not
play it here last night.
Got canceled because of the rain.
That's right. It rained out.
But no, they love The Sandlot. We have like a little dirt patch out here in Arizona in our yard, and we play Sandlot all the time. So
honestly, mine have rained it out. I don't know if it got played.
That's true, because it started raining when we went out to dinner, and they were playing it to get it warmed up to go. So who knows? Hey, guys, it was rained out. Okay, so just let you know. Don't worry about it. Your dad planned on bringing you. He got rained out. He already knew. Okay, so if you were hosting a dinner party,
yep,
cooking in the backyard, what three players, whether they're former players, current players, whatever, who are you inviting over just so you can have some, you know, ribs, brisket, and a couple beers? Who do you want to sit down and talk to?
Jeter, for sure. Okay. Jeter's on that list. Holy smokes. I got to be honest. I didn't get to play against Beltre, but he seems like an awesome guy. Getting to talk with him a little bit in the clubhouse
Jeff
when he's in.
That. Yeah.
So Beltre's coming. He seems like a fun guy. And this one was a teammate in San Diego, a guy who really taught me the culture of being a good teammate, Eric Hosmer.
Guy, I mean, just retired.
Yes. Awesome human being, awesome teammate, you know, came from, you know, World Series caliber teams in you know, Kansas City to a rebuild in San Diego and handled himself like a true pro. So Haas is definitely on that list.
That's a pretty good treat.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I get to do this every day when I get to meet all these guys in the clubhouse and do that. So my barbecue is right there. But this is great. I mean, as a player, I was always wanted to know, who are you guys, man, if you could have them over to do that? Because if someone asked me, what three players would you have over? Well, I'd have over Jankowski because we already get along. He'd bring all the kids over and get in my pool, and we'd have a blast, you know.
Big grandpa for a day.
Yeah, big grandpa. My wife and I would take them in a heartbeat. But honestly, you're trying to think back to all the great players and, you know, not just Rangers. I mean, guys that I watched growing up, Bucky Dent and people like that played. But you got anything else?
No.
Let's get you out of here, man. This was great. And we're going to try to do it again during the season as it's going along. Great signing by the Rangers to get you back. I say this, you and I talk about it all the time. There's guys that play on every team. There's always a guy on that bench or the end of that bench. But when you look at other teams that have that guy, none of them are as talented as Jankowski. This is a guy that you can have in your lineup a few days a week, and he's going to get in games late in games, and he's a great pinch hitter and all of that. And if someone goes down, it doesn't fall off to have somebody come in, especially you proved it in the World Series, which, you know, my team won the World Series last year. So I'm still riding on that one, dude. You did that for me, so it was great.
Well, nothing else? You guys.
Yeah, no, nothing else. Just let's do it again.
Yeah. It was too much fun not to do again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, that's Travis Jankowski. He is a world champion, World Series champion, Texas Rangers. Thanks for coming on, and we're going to go down in the bus leagues right after this. Big thanks to Travis Jankowski, who stopped down with us earlier this week. It was fun. It's always fun having Travis on. We are going to go down in the bus leagues. Don't forget, down in the bus leagues is really going to kick off in a couple of weeks when they start playing games, because we're going to have some real-time stats. I always pull them up every week, who's done good for the week and done all of that. This is one of my favorite parts, Jeff, of spring training.
Uh-huh.
When we go to spring training, getting on backfields,
yeah,
and doing all of that. And I've just the guys that I saw, I tell you a funny story. I was coming in one day, and Teoto was walking with me. We were walking right behind, you know, where you walk up and we split off and we go down by the batting cage and they go back to the
– yeah.
And we were talking, and I said, Emilio, and he turned around. He didn't speak great English at all. And I said, hey, we're the Rangers today. I said, maybe someday we want to get you on the podcast. I said, do you speak good English? He goes, so-so, you know, all of that. And I said, well, maybe we'll – do it, and we'll get an interpreter or something like that to do it. He goes, okay. So we go. I split. He goes that way, and he turns around. He goes, hey. He goes, now. And I said, no. I said, I'll get a hold of you. No, not right now.
That's very funny.
So Emilio's good to go on.
All right.
That might be somebody that Joel could interview for us too.
There you go.
And get some stuff there. Our producer, in case y'all don't know, guys, he's bilingual. He does some Spanish stuff on the YouTube channel. He's only done a couple of them, but really he's going to try to kick that in this year, interview these guys in Spanish, because they really do love to do Spanish interviews for those that speak Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's really good. But that was a funny one. But going back, I had so many of the players that would come up to me and yell my name. One of them good God, what's his name from UCLA?
Ryan Garcia.
Ryan, he said John and caught my attention. And
yeah,
I looked
super
over,
nice guy. He was going nicest by, guy in the organization.
Came over and gave me a big hug. And I forgot about him for a second. But he's probably going to be back at Double A for sure.
I think so. Yeah.
Probably be in the rotation there.
His ERA last year was 6.66.
Yeah. You know, he was coming back from all the injuries. This is a full fresh year of being uninjured. That's a guy to keep an eye on. Look, the numbers he put up in college, yes, college is totally different from pro baseball and all of that. But that guy, I have high hopes for him. I like Ryan Garcia. I'm pulling for Ryan Garcia because he's a big fan of the show and he's just fun.
Yeah. And he's in better shape than he was. He is healthy. He's cleared the medical issues. I mentioned the ERA. He made every start.
Yep.
He was durable. He did not have any physical issues, and so that's got to be a big confidence boost for him. He lives in Surprise. He's a good kid. Looking forward to that. They had the MLB spring breakout game.
Yeah,
that was Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday before the Cactus League game with the Rangers and the Reds, and not a star-studded lineup as far as Langford and Carter, because they're the top prospects.
The Rangers, but all of baseball.
And Jack Leiter wasn't there. Justin Foscue wasn't there. But among the guys who were was Sebastian Walcott, who is their number three prospect right now. He turned 18 yesterday, our guest last week. So happy birthday to him. He singled in his first at bat. He was followed. He scored later as Cam Colley, our good friend, tripled him in. And then Colley had a double later. I tell you what.
He's my guy right now.
Cam Colley is mashing the ball, and he's made some swing changes. He's really driving the ball, and he had a couple defensive lapses in Cactus League games. I mean, he's been all over the Cactus League games, filling in for
he's coming in late
for
in
guys,
the big games, yeah.
And he's hitting in those games too. Fast, he is a better defender than some of you might have seen. So, he's number 13, I think, on MLB pipeline. He might be in the top 10 with Baseball America. So he's really having a nice spring and getting some good experiences.
Probably going to start in Frisco.
Yeah, maybe. You know, they did trade away two Frisco infielders last year, so there's an opportunity there. But also in the game, our buddy Jim Callis tweeted this. He had, I guess he either has his own radar gun or he talked to scouts. Your guy Isaac Tiger was 99 to 100. Skylar Hales, who was the fourth round pick, he hit 100, and then Emiliano Teodo hit 101. So Rangers have some power arms. They're a little under
harnessed in
little strokes. Underdeveloped. You know, they're going to be at the lower levels to start the year, as you said, Isaac Tiger. Rangers think he has a chance to finish at Frisco, which would be pretty cool. But it's you know, the prospects come in waves. So you're seeing a wave now with Carter and Langford. You're hopefully seeing Leiter in that wave. But then, you know, there's going to be a period where it's going to take a couple seasons to get to like Cam Cauley and to get to Abby Ortiz, maybe Mitch Bratt, Jose Corniel. Maybe they're in that wave. And then you have yet another wave where you're going to find like Brock Porter, who started the breakout game. Walcott probably in that wave, Anthony Gutierrez, guys like that. So it's interesting to kind of see how they, you can kind of tell they're just, if you kind of look at their development path, it comes in waves. So we're at a pretty, I don't know, gnarly wave. Is that what the surfers say? But it's a good wave right now, but they, you know, they do need that those four pitchers who we mentioned in the first segment, Leiter, White, Wynn, Kent, and then I'll throw Dane Acker in there too, to be guys, to be options. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. You know, it's spring training. They didn't get a lot of opportunity, and what opportunity they had wasn't great. So maybe they're still working on some things. But again, I think the Rangers have to be pretty darn encouraged with Jack Leiter this spring.
Yeah, and my breakout guy that I really think, and I was mentioning early, is Cam Cauley. Look, Cam came in. He was supposed to go to Texas Tech. Was he a second rounder?
Third round pick.
He signed for close to $1 million. They kept him from going to Texas Tech. He came in that first year. He showed signs that he could do it, but his average wasn't great. It was about 230.
I mean, he's 18. State for Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and playing more ball than he's ever played.
Away from home for the first time.
Absolutely. You know,
last year, he picked it up kind of mid-season.
Big time.
After a slow start. And
now he's getting married.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I said, hey, that's getting married. All right.
Yeah, him and I talked the whole time. We would just be walking between fields, and him and I would be talking the whole time. So not only was he putting up on the field, he was just sitting there. Yes, sir. He kept yes, sir, me to death, which it drives me nuts. But that's just the type of kid he is. He's a good kid. But I said, did I see that you're getting married, that you got married? He goes, I'm engaged. I am getting married. Right. I said, well, when are you getting married? He's going to do it next offseason.
Yeah. A lot of November and December weddings in the baseball world.
Right. And I said, so is this a girl from back home or is it? And it is. It's a girl from back home that in the Houston area.
I think he mentioned her either the first time he was on or the second time. I think real estate agent. Is she going to be a real estate agent?
She is a real estate agent.
That's right.
She's already doing that now. So it's good for him. And they're still together. Looks like a lot of these guys are, you know, Wyatt Langford got married.
Sure. Brock Burke got married this offseason. A lot of guys are married. Evan Carter got married last offseason. So did Justin Foscue.
Right. We could still consider Foscue a minor leaguer and Langford a minor leaguer until they make their big league debuts. But,
that's right.
But you know, these guys get married kind of young, and that's not bad because they live life out there on it. You know, unlike college, going off to college, you're on a campus, you stay there. These guys are traveling around on buses and doing that. So, I know it could get a little lonely probably. So it's nice that if you get married young and do that, but it's really, really, really good for Cam and his fiance. I'm really happy for him. And he's just, I'm talking about him, but the numbers and coming in late, when they played the Angels, And, you know, Colley's somebody they bring in late in games to fill in. These guys, if you go to spring training, I will tell you this. Big leaguers are only going to play 3 or 4 innings. If you get there in the middle of it, they'll probably will get 3 to 4 at bats. But then they yank them at last couple of innings. You're going to see a lot of the young, the extras. Is that what they, what do they call those guys?
Jicks, just in case.
Just in case guys that, that show up and then they come in late in the games. And Colley hit a double the night we were there almost. He hit it to that right center field gap the wall. Then he hit a triple and a double last night in the, in what was that thing called last night? The
spring breakout.
Spring breakout. He did that. This is a guy that, that we need to watch. He's really figuring it out. He's there. I mean, he's starting to really produce. Yeah. And not that there's anything at the big league level for him right now. He is totally an infielder, but that's also a guy. Thomas Sejesi gets you Jordan Montgomery last year. And stuff like that. This could be a guy that headlines some deal and does something for this team when they need something at the All-Star break.
Yeah, you know, that's, we've said it 1,000 times. You build a farm system in part to trade them away. And
they can't all make it to the big leagues.
There's two currencies in baseball. There's cash money, and then there's prospects. And the Rangers, you know, if they were going to trade for Dylan Cease, you know, I don't know if Ken Rosenthal was accurate, but, you know, Jack Leiter and Brock Porter were the names that he mentioned. And Ezekiel Duran, a young major leaguer who the Rangers really don't need to trade right now. They have injury problems. They have guys who get hurt.
Right.
And so anyway, there are deals that are out there. It's beauties in the eye of the beholder. You know, when the Rangers acquired, when they traded Joey Gallo, they acquired those four players from the Yankees. None of them were in the Yankees top 10, but they immediately, two of them, Josh Smith and Zeke Duran, became Rangers top 10 prospects. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that's not to say that the Yankees weren't willing to trade somebody in the top 10, but the Rangers, their scouts really were high on these guys, you know, and I remember when the Rangers got Michael Young, got Ezekiel Duran. Michael Young was like, Ezekiel Duran is going to hit. And for the first half last year, when he was filling in for Corey Seager, he sure did. So anyway, it's I don't want to knock the prospect rankings because they're fun to talk about and sure. They're usually pretty accurate. But sure. Sometimes the Rangers, for instance, could say, hey, we can offer you, I don't know, some Dustin Harris, Josh Steven, and Cam Colley for Mike Trout. I don't know, somebody. And the Angels might find a better deal in another organization who guys who are ranked lower in pipeline in Baseball America, but their scouts just like better. Exactly. It's beauties in the eye of the beholder. But hopefully they don't get traded because we like these guys, but you can't fall in love with them because if you do that, then your heart's going to get broken when they do get traded or if they don't make it or whatever. So anyway, it is a fun time on the backfields. It's a fun time of the year, spring training. And we love to have those guys on the show because they're very insightful. You get to see a part of the game you don't normally see.
Sure.
They're not on television 162 times a year.
Nope.
And the Rangers are, even though they can't see sometimes in DFW. But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully that changes next year. But you know, it's just they work hard. It's rough riding buses. It's, you know, MLB's made a little bit better because the road trips aren't too long, but it is pretty brutal when you have to go from, I think Frisco had a trip last year where they had to go from Tulsa or Corpus to Tulsa. That was a long one. You know, but they're trying to eliminate those. And
well, if it's so many hours, aren't they now required to fly?
Well, you know, now that they have a union, maybe that's going to be the case. But I don't know that they've hammered out a CBA quite yet, but you know, in the AAA, they fly commercial, you know, yep. and you know, they, one thing about baseball players and flights is they don't show up like normal people, or at least like me, early. They show up, and you know, if you're flying Southwest and you don't get in line in time, you're going to get you a middle seat in the back. So you're going to have a 6'5" pitcher, you know, sitting between two old ladies or a 300-pound guy on the aisle and a and a 4'6" gymnast on the window. I don't know. It's just it's not, I mean, it's better than a bus from Austin to Tacoma, but
yeah,
you know, it's not ideal. So
now, anyway, you get there a lot quicker,
a lot of stories out there. And we like having those guys on to tell them and building the relationships with the young so that when they become major leaguers, hopefully they'll be like, oh yeah, hey, let's go on the show we're going to Tampa Bay this week. I'll have an hour. Let's hop on. So
absolutely.
Anyway,
from the big leagues to the bus leagues, bud,
that's right.
We've got them all, and we've got front office.
And that's why you should subscribe to Rangers Today. $5.99 a month, $48 right now for a year. All right. You can do the math. You can do monthly for $6, or you can do annually for $4. Now, obviously, I probably want more money, but I want you guys to have a good time and to be able to you know, not pay an arm and a leg to see our content. Because once you see it, you're going to love it. It'll renew at 60 next year, and you won't care. You'll probably be willing to pay more. And if you want to give me some money, great. I'll give you a Venmo number. But for now, just sign up and we'll get you right now. It starts. I mean, it gets you the whole season, all of next season, and then it'll renew right in time for 2025.
And guys, I can't stress this enough. This is the World Series championship team. There are 3 full-time beat writers that cover this team. 3. And Jeff Wilson's one of them.
That's right.
And there are only 3. And there used to be more. There used to be a couple from teams. There used to be more outlets. But there are 3 full-time coverages for the Texas Rangers that put a daily beat writer out there for every game and put them out there. And one of them is Jeff Wilson at Rangers Today.
That's me.
And that's him. And you know, look, I'm along for the ride. I'm a fan. I'm the bus driver on the podcast. I do a little bit of writing sometimes, but you know, I don't ride like these guys. But man, it is so. And T.R. Sullivan puts his stories are worth the. I would pay $60 a year just to read T.R. stuff too.
Yeah,
I mean that's an added bonus. He's got some great stories. If you ever want to go read a great story, I know most of you think that the Rangers came from Washington D.C. when the Senators came down here, but man, he wrote a whole story about when the Rangers came here and they were almost the Oakland A's. They were almost the New York Mets.
Yeah,
that whole story was something I didn't know, and I thought I knew every story.
Yeah, I think it's a 3-parter, and shoot, it might have been a 4-parter. I don't remember, but it was one of the first things he did for us, and
it was phenomenal.
It was very good.
It was a stop down to read. Now, every morning I get an email every morning from Rangers Today, and my cup of coffee in my hand, which, by the way, I can get you a Rangers Today cup if you want one, but a Rangers Today cup. And I get my coffee, and I read my Rangers Today every morning, and I'm surprised. Look, Jeff and I talk all the time, but like the whole Bieber thing he brought up, he said sources, and I called him. I said, hey, who did you talk to? Can't tell me, but he did. I mean, he did, but.
I told him, but we're not telling
him. Yeah, I can't tell you because it's sources. And I was like, really, who'd you talk to? Man, those are sources. And I mean, he was like, yeah, I asked them. They're interested. And I'm like, I forget, beat writers, God, you guys have info.
Yeah, well, we've been around for a while.
Well, the Rangers are quiet, though. They don't give away a lot.
Rangers aren't very helpful.
they don't.
And that's fine. Yep. That's fine. If that's your organization's stance, great.
Right.
But there's somebody out there that's always eager to help out Rangers Today. So anyway, we're kind of rambling at this point.
Yep, but let's get out of here.
Again.
Next week,
$48 for 12 months. Hard as hell to beat that price. So, yeah, but I'm going back to Arizona. I'll be in camp Monday.
We'll do another show from out there.
We'll do a show from out there. Thursday's the off day. We'll probably...
After 5, we're going to start doing a few of those.
Yeah, yeah. And
will be Q&As. You guys can get on and ask questions.
We got some other ideas. Yep. Bounce around the hopper here. Try to get more content out there. Try to grow this thing. And
We need y'all's help. Share it with your friends. Share it with your Ranger buddies. Yep. Do all of that. Guys, listen, we're going to get out of here. We've gone a little long. Thanks to Travis Jankowski for joining us today. Guys, we can't do this without you. We appreciate it so much. For Jeff Wilson, I'm John Moore. Until next time, guys, we'll see you at the yard.